It's great to be here tonight in the presence of the Lord. Thank God tonight for the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. I'm very grateful and very thankful for their prison ministry when I was behind prison walls. With great affection, I remember many ministers from the Free Presbyterian Church who taught us the Word of God and who stand on its great truths and principles and precepts. Tonight, I'm very grateful for that tonight. And I rejoice tonight in that liberty where Christ has set me free. And tonight, I just want to share with you my testimony. I'd like to make a few things clear before I testify tonight. And what is a testimony? Well, tonight, in Psalm chapter 66, verse 16, the psalmist says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and hear, and I will declare what he's done for my soul." That's a testimony. What must one do when he testifies? Psalm 50, verse 15, "You will call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." In Psalm 96, verse 8, the psalmist says, "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name." You know, Paul the apostle says in Romans 6 and 21, "What profit had ye then in those things that you're now ashamed of?" I want to make it clear tonight, folks, at the outset, I'm absolutely ashamed of my past. I will not go into the great detail, but suffice to say, I let the scriptures speak for themselves tonight. I don't believe tonight that there's a household in this province where trouble hasn't come to the front door. The book of Job says, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upwards." A man born yet of a few days is born into trouble. And you know that great text that Paul speaks of in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. It thrills my soul. I can never get to the bottom of it. That this is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, listen friends, of whom I am chief. But in the light of that text, friends, listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. Friends, if God was to categorize our sin tonight, or categorize a sinner, which he doesn't, listen to the text of Scripture tonight. Psalm 103, verses 10, 11, and 12. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, or watered us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And as far as east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us." And 103, verse 3 and 4. "If he, the Lord, should mark sin, who could stand?" But gloriously it says in the next verse, "But there is forgiveness with thee." Friends, tonight I don't care how bad you think you might be or what you've ever done. I tell you tonight about the cross tonight, that mercy there was great and grace was free, and pardon was multiplied to me, Andy Copeland, on the 9th of September, 1985, after a life of sin. I was brought up in the heart of East Belfast. My mum had 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. And you know, Fred, it's only when I became to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior, and this wonderful book, the Word of God, came alive. And I could concur with the many scriptures. Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, despise not the instruction of your father, nor the law of your mother." And you will know tonight there's many parents in this gathering. There's rules and regulations in every home. Whether it be a Christian home, whether it be an unchristian home, there was rules. Those were days when you would never address an older person by their Christian name. It was he Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. Days when I remember with great affection, even the Salvation Army band playing at the street corner on a Sunday morning. I didn't come from a Christian home, far from it. But those were days, folks, many will remember in this gathering tonight, where there was moral standards, where people feared God, even the unsaved. And my mum and dad would have sent us to Sunday school. Yes, even though it was to get their headpiece, but you were sent to Sunday school. But how the generations have changed, and how up to date the Word of God is tonight. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, "There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, but have not been cleansed from their filthiness." And I believe that's the generation in which we're living today. Everyone is doing that which is right in their own eyes, unconscious of God and the things of God and the house of God and the Word of God and its great principles and standards. But however, I went to Sunday school. But you know, as a 7-year-old boy, yes, 7 years of age, I began to taste of the manifestations and fruits of sin. I was a young man who rebelled against my parents, against society, and against God himself, which was to have terrible consequences further down the line. And how true the word of God is tonight. In Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. And friends, you will hear about that tonight. You see, you can't sin and get away with it and don't expect consequences in this life or the life to come. And I have an older brother who's a very compulsive gambler, and sadly today as we stand here tonight in this church, he still is. And he led me into that gambling scene, if you like, as a young boy. Quite remarkable. Hard to believe that you could put money on a horse and double or triple your money. And I had anything to do with discipline whatsoever. I simply would not listen to my parents' advice. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to be my own boss. Just like Jesus said, we will not have this man to rule over us. That was me in the world in which I lived. It was on this world and on this world alone. I was a selfish young boy. I hated school with all my heart. I left school at the age of 16. I took my first drink of alcohol when I was 13. I got involved with young men. When I say young men who were slightly older than me, who were involved in paramilitary organizations. Those were days in the early 80s when our country was in deep conflict. I don't need to tell you any further than that. But I was one of those young men who didn't want to be called the yellow belly. I followed the crowd. How true the word of God is, if sinners entice thee, go not with them. Remember a preacher saying one night, tell me the company that you're keeping and I'll tell you what you are. And friend, there's a certain truth in that tonight. But even tonight as we bow and stand in his presence, O Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe tonight that there's a bar, a pub or a club in North, South, East or West Belfast that there's no paramilitary influence of some description. But anyway, I'm undone in my sin. I would have stolen from my mum's purse and any other people I deemed vulnerable to satisfy my crave for gambling. And I became a member of a political organization. Everybody else was doing it, so it must be right. How Paul got it right when he said that he was ignorant of all those things. He did it in ignorance and unbelief. Well, friends, I left school at the age of 16 and lived for self and for my sin. Totally disobeyed my mom and my dad, totally disregarded their advice, which was to have terrible consequences further down the line. I remember coming out of a bookmaker's shop one day on the Castle Road in East Belfast. At this stage, I was 22 years of age. I came across a young lady that I've respected for many, many years. Isn't it strange as an unsaved man? There's certain people you respected who you deem to be real Christians. That was my thinking at the time. But you know, friends, how true the word of God is tonight when it says in the book of Proverbs that a merry heart maketh for a good countenance, and that we as Christians should let our light shine before others. But how far short we fall of these principles and standards in the Word of God. But this was a young woman, in Christian terms, who was shining for Christ. And without fear or contradiction, she asked me how I was keeping. And me being a sinful man, oh, I'm doing fine, everything's grand. It was far from it, friends. And that girl told me she was praying for me, and her brother was praying for me, that I would come to know Christ as my Savior. A particular time when the Lord was moving and a particular church in Belfast at that time where souls were coming to Christ. And I remember saying to her, what about this church on the White Whale Road? And I remember saying to him, I'll go to church with you any time. Friends, I want you to remember that. Remember what I've just said, the church that I've mentioned. God doesn't make mistakes. And unknown to me, our conversation finished. We stopped outside a local pub. She went her way, I went my way. I left the pub in the evening. I was 22 years of age. I made my way home up the Woodstock Road where I live. And my street was cordoned off by police and army. A policeman asked me my name and address. I told him. He put his hand on my shoulder and told me I was under arrest under Section 11 of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. My father was arrested. My three brothers was arrested. They had found firearms in my home. I denied all knowledge of it. We were taken to Castlereagh Holding Centre under a seven-day order. But friends, I was in an awful dilemma. Do I keep my mouth shut and hopefully walk out? Do I confess the firearms belong to me and my dad and my brothers will be released? After 2 days, I confessed that the firearms belonged to me. My dad and my brothers were released. I was officially charged. It was a Friday evening. I appeared in court on a Saturday morning in Belfast Magistrates Court. I was remanded in custody and taken to Cumberland Road Prison. And I want to tell you tonight, friends, as a young man of 22, I was at the very end of my tether. I had lost my liberty. I was away from the things and the people that I loved and the things that I loved to do, my drinking, my gambling, the women, and all those sinful practices. I remember lying in a prison cell on top of a bed, reading these little gospel tracts on a bedside locker. How the scriptures told me that God loved me and that Christ died for me. Within an hour of being put in that prison cell, the door knocked, was opened by a prison officer, and there was a Presbyterian minister by the name of Jackson Buick. He took me down to a separate room. He wanted to know of any church affiliation, and so on and so forth. And I was in tears. I wept sore. I told him there was no future. I didn't know how long I was going to be there, and if there was any future at all. And that man simply told me the gospel of Jesus Christ, and told me that God loved me and that Christ died for me. I was put back in my prison cell, and I believe now in hindsight in the will of God. I was granted high court bail on the Wednesday evening of the following week, and I was released in the evening from Cumberland Road Prison. And being an unsaved man, I decided, I'm finished with the paramilitaries. I'll still have my drink. I'll still have my gamble in the bookies. I'm doing nobody any harm. And on that particular Wednesday night after being released in bail, I decided I would go down to the local leisure centre to reflect on my future, if there was any at all, just to watch the various sporting activities from the viewing lounge. I walked up the stairs into this leisure centre to the cafeteria area, and right bang in the centre of that cafeteria area was a whole pile of tables. But right bang centre, there was four young women, and one of the women was a young lady that told me she was praying for me just a week or 2 weeks beforehand. I was ashamed. I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me. I was embarrassed. And I went over and I sat down beside her with my hands across like this, my head bowed like that. And I says, Rachel, I'm sorry. She says, how are you, Andy? I says, Rachel, I'm sorry. I'm out in bail tonight on a firearms charge. And friends, I got up out of that chair and I literally run out of the leisure centre, totally unaware of the reality of that great scripture. Where shall I flee from thy presence? Unknown to me, I was under conviction of sin. And in God's time, he was going to woo me and win me to Christ. I gambled the peace out again on the Saturday afternoon. Lost every shilling that I had. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, I was a young man that had a mouth like a sewer pipe. A young man had no respect for society, no respect for my parents. My parents couldn't have sent me to the shop for a message, for their tea, for their dinner. I spent every shilling that I had. I spent my days in a bootmaker's shop from 11 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, Monday to Saturday, holding up a wall, begging people for money to gamble. And so many times in my life as an unsaved man, I tried to stop my gambling, tried to stop my drinking, tried to stop going with the wrong crowd. And how true the word of God is. It speaks of a man in the book of Luke, going out seeking rest, he findeth none. He comes back and he finds a house swept and garnished. Picture of a man trying to clean himself up. Do you know what it says, friends? The last state of that man was worse than the first. A young man, like the scriptures say, there's a way that seemeth unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I was a bit like Columbus. I went out on a Saturday night or a Friday night. Your mother would have said, Tully, where are you going tonight? Typical Northern Ireland, isn't it? I don't know how you get there. Friends, I went out, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's very real. I went out, didn't know where I was going. When I got there, I didn't know where I was. When I got back, I didn't know where I'd been. And there's men tonight and women tonight in this province, just like that. They live for the weekend. And how true the word of God is, a wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived bad is not wise. Oh yes, friends, I've been there. You go into work on a Monday morning and you boast about your exploits over the weekend and what you did and what you didn't do. And people remind you of what you did do and the laugh that you give them. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived bad is not wise. It gives you a laugh at other people's expense. But I can tell you something tonight. It's only Christ who can satisfy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And friends, I gambled a piece out, like I said to you, went home, took it out my family as normal, took the hinges off the door, basically. My mum would have said to me, don't take it out on us if you've lost your money in the bookies. I remember going up the stairs, lying on top of my bed. We lived in a four-bedroom house. My bedroom was in the attic at the top of the house. And friends, I was depressed, as one would get depressed. I couldn't describe it. It's unimaginable. On our door rapped, a man I'd never seen in my life before, who had heard about my predicament. He was a Christian driver who learned people to drive, members of my family. And obviously he was praying for me. He came along and asked me would I like to go along to church. And friends, I could tell you something standing here tonight. I had no time for church and no time for the things of God or the house of God or the word of God or the people of God. In fact, I would have mocked them when I used to preach the gospel at the corner of Camban Street on the Piercebridge Road outside the old GPO office as I was making my way to the bookmaker's shop. And I was totally unaware that I was gambling with my soul. But that man, God bless him, invited me to church. And I went to church that night out of respect, basically. Unaware to me that the very church that he would bring me to was the church that I mentioned to the girl in my conversation on the Castlereagh Road. And I remember when I was out in High Court bail, just tracking back slightly, a dear man, believer in the Lord, a local business, sent for me. And he asked me to pick a suit and a shirt and a tie. And he put a shirt on my back, a tie, on a suit. And we'll get to that point in a wee minute. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God. But I went to church that night in a suit, totally unaware of what was going to happen. I walked into that church, just like I've walked in here tonight, and here was all these people, as they say in Christian terms, rejoicing in the Lord. These happy people, and a big fella in the middle of them, maybe over 1,000 people, faced like a lurking spade, down in the dumps, didn't know what the future held. And you know, friends, I'll never forget the passage of Scripture. You'd have thought somebody told the pastor about me. The video was rewinded. He spoke in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13, the tax collector. I don't need to tell you about Matthew and how in those days in Rome, the taxpayers were hooks and crooks, £2 into their pocket and £1 to the government. And how he related this message to the 21st century of today. How men were living in flashy homes, driving luxury cars, and they were the godfathers of violence. And he said, if you're one of those men tonight, and you come into this house, you'll go to hell with your old money. Friends, I wasn't driving a luxury car. I wasn't living in a flashy home. But I'll tell you something. What struck me was this, was the convicting, convincing work of the Spirit of God. You know the story. Matthew was called from the receipt of custom. He was brought Christ to his house to celebrate his conversion. And the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees criticized Christ. How come this man eats with publicans and sinners? And Christ rebuked him. He says, I've not come to call those that are sick. Them that are whole, but them that are sick. Go and ye learn what that meaneth, for I will have mercy in that sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And friend, I got it. Like that night, that I was in the midst of a people who were already saved, washed and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who didn't need a doctor, that I was the one that was sick from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet with sin. And I seen it clearly. The Spirit of God convicted me of my sin that night. And I can tell you tonight, gloriously, I bowed the knee in repentance towards God and accepted Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And I want to tell you what happened that night, friends. I'll tell you what happened. The Word of God says this: I will give you, take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my ways. I'll tell you what happened to Andy Copeland that night, friends. I got a new heart, a new life, and a new song. My character changed. My conduct changed. My conversation changed. My companions changed. The very course of my life changed. My decisions changed. My desires changed. You see, the first thing that Christ done for me was not only change my heart, but he changed my tongue. My conversation would now be seasoned with salt and with grace, unto a sweet smelling savour unto God. The things that I once loved, I would now hate. And the things that I hated, I would now love. And I remember, Father, I remember that evening at home, well, to my aunt's house where my mum was visiting. And you know, friends, I want to tell you something. That night, I went into that church, a new suit on a man, and come out a new man in a suit, born again by the Spirit of the living God. And oh, the importance of going home and confessing Christ. I went to my aunt's house where my mum was visiting. I walked through the door, and I was still in tears. And she says, "What's wrong with you, son?" I says, "Mummy, I get saved tonight. I'm born again." You know what she says to me? "I think of the unsaved, say all the time, I hope you keep it." Friends, tonight I'm standing here not because I can keep it. I'm standing here today because I'm kept by the power of God through faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. And Paul says, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I remember going home that night, having to confess Christ to my older brother. I'll never forget it. He was reading the Belfast Telegraph for the horse racing on Monday morning, and which was always our practice. He would have said to me, "What do you fancy tomorrow?" And I remember walking in and saying to him, "I don't fancy anything. I get saved tonight." I says, "I'm born again." And he says to me, "There's something wrong with your head." Friend, it wasn't my head, it was my heart. But it was changed by the grace of God. And I realized then that I had a trial awaiting me, and I would stand before a high court judge at Belfast Crown Court in June 1985. I was handcuffed to a prison officer. I had a suit on at that dear brother in the Lord had very kindly given to me. I stood up, and I was sentenced to 5 years of imprisonment. My barrister told me to expect anything between 10 and 15, but I believe that was God's grace and mercy. But God does not make mistakes. You know, the thing that filled my soul as I stood handcuffed, I thank God that intermittent period between being on bail and going to prison, that I attended a church that preached the gospel, and I learned all the wonderful songs of Zion and all the great hymns. You see, he took David from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. He put his feet upon a rock and he established his way. He put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and put their trust in the Lord. You see, just like David, he brought me up, he brought me out, and he brought me into Christ. And there's a day coming, friends, you're going to bring me home to be with Christ, which is far better. And friends, I was taken underneath the tunnel, across the Cumberland Road into the confines of the Cumberland Road prison. I'll never forget it. A three-piece suit on, a shirt and tie. And there was a 24-hour, I think, or 48-hour waiting period between being sentenced and going to the Maze prison because of other prisoners being sentenced behind me. I remember going into that prison cell, and I only think tonight of the words of Jeremiah 15:16. The precious word of God was in the corner. Jeremiah said this: "Thy words were found that I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." And friends, I'm not saying this tonight for sensationalism or to tickle your ears. I opened the word of God at random. I'll never forget the text of scripture that I've held to and stood on all those years while waiting to go to the Maze prison. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No man will be able to stand before thee all the days of your life." And in verse 9 it says this: "Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God shall be with thee wheresoever thou goest. And I realized, one, that I was going to prison. Do you know, I love it when it says in Genesis about Joseph, it says God was with him. And remember that a couple of hours after being put in that prison cell, a guy was brought into my cell who had been sentenced after me. I got up off the bed. I told him my name, told him my offense, how long I got. I confessed Christ. Well, I got 5 years. I'd never been in prison in my life. This guy got 16. I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go for sleep. But anyway, I remember that night at 10 o'clock, and I felt a powerful urge to seek God's face in prayer because we're being moved the next day to the men's prison. This man was still the practicing, if that's the right term to use, lawless prisoner. You'll know those days in the 80s where the lawless prisoners were separated from the Republican prisoners. I'll tell you a funny thing in a minute about the other type of prisoners. But that night at 10 o'clock, you were allowed to smoke in prison at that time, by the way, and this guy was sitting on top of a bunk making roll-ups and smoking cigarettes, which I hated cigarettes. And I said, do you mind if I have a word of prayer? He said, that's okay, mate, go ahead. When I got on my knees, folks, I'm not ashamed to tell you this. I bore my heart before God, audibly. I remember saying, save Psalm, Lord. Show him the error of his ways. Because I knew he was going a separate way when we got to the maze prison. We were moved the next day in a prison van. I can only tell you tonight it was a biscuit tin and wheels. What a journey. Nightmare journey. But I sang every course and every hymn that I knew from Conlon Road prison to the maze prison. And I was still singing that night at 12 o'clock. I'll never forget it. I remember the course that I sang. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, all because of Calvary. I'm so glad that I've been born again. This is when I knew there was born again believers in that wing. Seriously, 12 midnight, that's what I was singing. And I heard this voice in the wing. Imagine the echo in a prison. Hey, Tonto, one of your mates. So I knew there was born again believers there. And friends, let me tell you something. I was put on a wing. I'll never forget it. For ODCs. They called them ordinary decent criminals. It's not incredible. It can only happen here. I was on a wing for ordinary decent criminals. There's not one out there in the night, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you something. I woke up the next morning, friends, and I'll tell you something tonight, standing here. I encountered the most amazing brethren in the Lord, had the most amazing fellowship imaginable on God's earth. I would say I was on a wing with 26 men, and guessing, roughly, not far out, 7 or 8 men, including myself, were born again of the Spirit of God. And what a blessed time we had. You see, the Word of God says this tonight, Paul writing from a prison cell, in Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 12, I will have you to know, brethren, that the thing which have happened unto me was for the furtherance of the gospel. And I knew then that the will of God would never leave me, but the grace of God couldn't keep me. We would have met around the Word of God on a Wednesday night, or Thursday night, sorry. We'd have broke bed on a Sunday morning. We had the great joy of baptizing a young man in the bath in the maze prison. And you know, the thing that I've found as a believer tonight, that our circumstances, our joy should not depend on our circumstances, but on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you'll find Paul and Silas, instead of weeping, they were worshiping. They were praising God, giving thanks to God. And that's why, if you look, as we've read tonight in Psalm 40, many shall see it in fear and put their trust in the Lord. I just wonder tonight, was that the reason why the jailer came to Christ? He couldn't understand why men that were beaten black and blue were singing praises unto God. And I can tell you something tonight, friends. I had the most wonderful fellowship with many dear men of God. And men who were rooted and grounded in the precious Word of God. I'm not talking about wishy-washy nonsense, friends. I ain't talking about men that were grounded and who stood in the Word of God. 2.5 years I spent in the maze prison. I was released in 1987 and came out into this sin-sick world. But I'll tell you something tonight. You ask me tonight, is the Christian life easy? No, friend, it's not. I'll tell you something tonight. I wouldn't swap what I've got tonight for the life that I used to lead. Because tonight there's none but Christ who can satisfy. There's no other name for me. There's love and there's life, the lasting joy, Lord Jesus Christ found in thee. And I tell you tonight, young man, young woman in the meeting tonight, older man, older woman tonight, your sin tonight will take you as far as you want to go. It'll keep you as long as you want to stay, but it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And how true it is, one writer said this, that sin's like a credit card. Enjoy now and pay later. And friends, tonight I'll tell you something. Sin has consequences. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't sin against God and get away with it, friends, tonight. But I thank God tonight that we serve a God who's rich in grace and in mercy in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear wife, who's here tonight with me, she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2016. And what a tremendous challenge and journey it was for us and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I've discovered it as an individual believer tonight, and I've done it many times, and I trust and pray to the glory of God that when I've quoted scripture to any individual as to their edification and the building up of their faith. All too often today we've got believers who use the word of God to crucify rather than to edify. That's not what it's given for tonight, friend. It's given for the building up of the saints and encouragement. And I've discovered as an individual through my wife's experience and my own, which I'll share shortly, it's easy to quote the word of God to other people tonight, but it's more difficult to apply it to your own situation and circumstances. You see, friends, tonight it's okay when the boat's on the water. It's a different matter when the water's in the boat. But you know something, friends, tonight? My wife was diagnosed in July 2016. She had surgery in October 16. God gave her a tremendous passage of scripture. I believe it's Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything make your request unto God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will rule in your heart. That was the text that the Lord gave my wife. And to me, I've never forgotten the scripture. Psalm 119:49-50. What a glorious text. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which you've caused me to hope. For this, the word of God, is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word quickeneth me. And further down in 165 it says, great peace are they which love the word of God. And friends, tonight, the believer does not turn to alcohol or other substances. They turn to Christ. They turn to the book. They lift the phone, they telephone a believer. And that's what I had cause to do 8 weeks ago. In fact, I was meant to be in Lisburn, Free Presbyterian Church. I made it there last week, thank the Lord. But as you know, men don't go to doctors. They have to be pushed. But you's nice ladies. I had a chest infection. I thought that's all it was. I was spitting up blood in my sputum. And I was unaware. My wife made an appointment behind my back. But she was unaware that I had made an appointment. One particular Wednesday night at 5 o'clock, I rang the doctor's surgery. I told the girl at reception, I had a chest infection. Could I have some antibiotics? And I was spitting up blood in my sputum. And the girl says to me, Mr. Copeland, could you come tomorrow at 12 o'clock, between 12 o'clock and 1? She says, we're closed at 1 o'clock for training purposes. My wife had a half day the next day. It was her weekend away, I think, at the Lodge Hotel in Coleraine with believers. We went to the surgery at 12 o'clock. I was standing in the queue. And the young doctor who's just replaced, the doctor who's been retired, he's been magnificent, I have to say. He spotted me in the queue and he called me in behind reception. He says, Mr. Copeland, he says, I believe you're spitting up blood in your sputum as well. I says, that's correct. He wrote me a letter there and then. He says, I want you to go to the Ulster Hospital for a chest x-ray. I'm telling you as it is, friends, tonight, and me being selfish and a bit of an idiot, I says, but doctor, I'm going away in the morning to the Lodge Hotel in Coleraine. He says, when are you back? I says, Monday. He says, you can go on Tuesday. But I'd forgot we were picking up the leader's daughter on the Friday in Newton Ards. So we couldn't very well drive past the Ulster Hospital and not go in. So the doctor was unaware of that. So we called in the Ulster Hospital on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. They'd done a chest x-ray. The guy came out and says to me, Mr. Copeland, I think you need to see a doctor. Friends, I've never seen a doctor, believe it or not. He said, if there's not a doctor with you in half an hour, I'll be with you. He wouldn't have been away 15 minutes. He came back. He brought me out, brought my wife out. He says, I want you to go into respiratory with me. Brought us round to respiratory. They done blood tests. They done sputum tests. They sounded at my chest. And I wasn't one bit anxious. I was more anxious about getting the cold rain because the weather wasn't good in the ground that day. I wanted to get out of the place. And I said to the guy, we'll have to wait on these blood results. He says, no. He says, you'll get them in 3 to 4 days' time. Your chest x-ray will be 7 to 10 days. Well, friends, we left the Ulster Hospital. We went to Coleraine. We had a glorious weekend with God's people. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It was a tremendous weekend. We made our way to the hotel at 9:15 on Monday morning. We were called in the after at Antrim. We were shopping. My wife's mobile phone went off. Her sister, who lives in the same street as herself, was looking after her 2 cats. She'd been up at our house. She was about to leave the house when the telephone rang. It was Dr. McGee. Is Mr. Copeland there? No, this is his sister-in-law. He's in Coleraine. Oh, yes, he told me. Is he coming home today? Yes. Will you tell him I want to see him at 3:45 today? My friends, I was totally shocked because I never gave it a thought regarding results or anything at all. Because they told me 4 days for bloods, 7 to 10 days for chest x-ray results. We made our way to the doctor's surgery at 3:45. I'll never forget it. We went in, we sat down. Dr. McGee said this to us. My wife's a witness to this. Mr. Copeland, we've got your chest x-ray results in from the Ulster Hospital. He says, I'm very concerned. I said, what's the problem? He says, in fact, I've made a red flag request on your behalf, which means you must be seen within 14 days. He says, they've discovered a shadow on your lung and a mass and a possible tumor. Wife's a witness to this. He says, are you not concerned? We both turned around and confessed Christ. We told him we were born again believers. We were going to commit it to the Lord. We came home. We rang every believer we knew. We texted every believer that we knew for a prayer. I'm one of these believers. I believe we should pray for one for another. I wanted it in the public domain. That's what we've done. Friends, listen to me. God's amazing. The next morning, what was my Bible reading? I'll never forget it. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore Peter was kept in prison, but much prayer was made unto God without ceasing by the church for him. Thousands were praying for Andy Copeland. Monday morning, we got a phone call from respiratory. Wanted to see me at 11:30 on the Wednesday. And I said to the girl from respiratory, I've been through respiratory via my GP, chest x-ray. This is when I knew the results was in. She says, that's correct, Mr. Copeland. You had a CT scan on Thursday at Downpatrick. I says, that's correct. And I says, I haven't got my results yet. She says, well, we've got your results. But her being a receptionist couldn't tell me. She said, you get your results to your GP. I come off the phone. I rang the doctor's surgery immediately. I said to the girl what had happened. Dr. McGee was off the Thursday. Well, our surgery's very good. They ring you between 11 o'clock and 12. Thursday morning, I was sitting in my recliner. I just finished reading the scriptures. And I says, honestly, I was seeking God's face in prayer. It was in the middle of prayer when the telephone rang beside me. This was an unsaved man. He says, Mr. Copeland, Dr. McGee here. He says, I don't know who you're praying to, but your prayers have been answered. He said, I've got very good news for you. I said, what's that? He said, you have no shadow, you have no mass, you have no tumor, and you have no cancer. I believe, friends, that God answered prayer. Now, I'm not saying, folks, tonight that that's the same for everyone. But I know this tonight. The book of Isaiah says this. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they won't overflow you. And through the fires, you won't be burned, nor will it be kindled against thee. For the Lord thy God, thy Savior, the Holy One of Israel, will be with thee. Friends, tonight, my wife was, the next morning we took my wife to work at 7:10. I held her hand. I remember saying to her, Doreen, I was your rock when you were working through this. You're my rock as I go through it. But guess what, dear? We've got an anchor that keeps the soul. Steadfast and sure when the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Our faith and our trust was on the rock, Christ Jesus, the one who told the very disciples, let us go over to the other side. And friends, tonight, there's no doubt, whatever you're going through tonight, he will take you over to the other side. Why? Because with Christ in the ship, we can smell it the storm. I say tonight to the Lord, unto him be the glory, the honor and the praise that is due unto his name. That the Lord has done great things for me, whereof I'm glad. And all I have needed tonight, his hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness.